Hi, everybody. Welcome back to At the Helm, my podcast series chronicling the last 25 years or so of my involvement with popular and not so popular music. Welcome to episode 13. And this episode, we're going to be looking at some of the material I was doing during the period of time I was working with Dave and the Dozy Lumps. The interesting aspect of this is, even though you're doing music with other people, once in a while you end up with a little pet project or something you'd like to do on your own that really has nothing to do with the other person's stuff, so you try to avoid involving them, and this is pretty much it. During the period of time I worked with Dave, we were very busy working on all this material, so I really didn't do a lot of other extraneous stuff, but in the years of 1991 and 92, I did do a handful of small projects at home, and most of them involved the synthesizer and looping with the Electro-Harmonic 16-second digital delay, which is an interesting device, except you have to keep your loops and samples fairly short in order to keep the fidelity up, because the longer you take, lest you go to the entire 16 seconds, the fidelity falls accordingly. It's one of the earliest looping devices. It was originally marketed as a Frip in the Box, which is a charming token name to give it. But in the meantime, all the time I'm working with Dave, I am occasionally going into the studio in my home and doing very short little pieces. Again, not very involved compared to the work that I'm doing with Dave, and maybe that was part of the fun, was to try to do something that had a different texture and a different feeling to it altogether. So we'll be listening to six different pieces, none of which are really that long, because the nature of these is they're like little electronic sketches, as it were, and I wasn't really concentrating on doing anything of a wonderfully finished nature, because that most of that effort was going into the Dozy Lumps. So during the period of 1991 and 92, I did a lot of work with Dave and very little home recording, but out of that home recording come the selections we're going to be hearing in this evening's episode, or today's episode. Anyway, the first track up is a piece called I Heard That. And again, a short loop based on a synthesizer run. A lot of these have some degree of percussion in them from the drum machine, and then a live counterpoint solo with the synthesizer. Later on, we'll hear a couple pieces with the guitar as a counterpoint. But in the meantime, this is the first track, and it's called I Heard That. Again, that was I Heard That, and a fairly straightforward loop with a synthesizer counterpoint, The next tune up is another thing with synthesizer, and I will admit that I love the textures that you can get on a synthesizer. That's why I got involved with them back in the 1970s. After years of buying anything I could that had a new electronic sound on it, I got to make some of my own. So in this process of doing very simple loops with counterpoint, sometimes it's just about texture and space and stuff. The next tune up is called Milk Teeth and is basically just a synthesizer piece, which at the end we fold over the music into the loop itself. So it's not a fixed loop. It starts to open up and get on top of itself as we fade out, which you can sort of hear as far as the music goes. So at any rate, this song is called Milk Teeth. So the last piece was again called Milk Teeth. The next tune up is called Lost in Paris and is different from the other tunes in just that it has a fixed loop in the 16-second digital delay, and then I do some guitar, live guitar counterpoint to it. Both this and the next tune have a live guitar solo against a loop that is non-static or not open, as it were, so it's a fixed. Now, whether a fixed loop is basically a sample or not is a linguistics and semantics discussion I don't want to get into. At any rate, having the opportunity to play some electric guitar in the, again, a regular tuning as opposed to all the work we've been doing with the new standard tuning was great. And a nice option and a nice variation for all the work that I was trying to do with Dave at the time. So hopefully these pieces represent a different side of what I was trying to do at the time. But at any rate, the next tune up is called Lost in Paris. Thank you. So as I'm working with the simple aspects of constructing short loops with the digital delay and doing counterpoint with them, sometimes I can manage to get a fairly good percussion loop build up. A lot of times the degradation of the signal from trying to stack things up in a loop with a low fidelity looper like I'm working with at this time is that things get somewhat muddy, and you have to be careful to stop things before they get to that point, or you don't have any sort of definition, particularly if you're trying to do a number of different instruments with percussion or keyboards or something inside the same loop. The dynamics can get sort of squashed. It's opened up later by having a higher fidelity looper with more time, which is coming very soon. Yay! But until that point in time, this is the tools that I'm working with. And I do have to say, I regret to this day the day that I let my 16-second digital delay go away, but it was for a fiscal reason, and it's the only box that I ever purchased in my life that was worth a great deal more when I sold it than it was when I bought it. Most electronics do not work that way because they're not very unique and they get improved upon, but this particular box had some rather unusual qualities, which was really the only thing in the marketplace for a long time that you could do fun stuff with, including slowing things down and doing them backwards and stuff, which later on with more modern DSP-oriented looping platforms, both for hardware and software computer applications, is something that's commonplace now, but was not the case when this device came out in the mid-80s. So again, these tracks date from 91 and 92, and the next one up is a track called Nelson's Day, and this features synthesizer and drum machine with a live guitar counterpoint. I would say, for reference sake, for those that are wondering, this particular guitar solo is a strange channeling of my influences from both my guitar instructor, but more particularly probably harkens back to one of my earlier guitar heroes, is a fellow by the name of James Blood Ulmer. I like Are You Glad to Be in America, which is, dates from 1980, is one of the most interesting albums of the 1980s, as far as I'm concerned, originally on Rough Trade from the UK. But James Blood Ulmer, interesting influence, still playing to this day. Matter of fact, a very fascinating guy. But you'll hear a little bit of the influence of his style and how I play this particular solo on this piece, which is called Nelson's Day. So as a point of reference, the Nelson referred to in the last song is Nelson Mandela, as opposed to, say, Nelson on The Simpsons. Ha ha. But in a oblique reference to what must have been a very good day for Nelson when he was no longer in the, well, incarceration, as it were. So, but it's a little tune that I enjoy, and I hope you did too. Next up is another piece called Questions of Distance, which uses a sample of some synthesizer work, which has been slowed down, which gives it a somewhat ethereal quality. And that's what I'm looking for in this particular thing. I'm not always sure how I interpret why I make the music that I do, but once I've committed the act, I either embrace it or let it go. And over the years, it's been interesting to look at pieces that may not have amounted to what I wanted to do at the time, but in retrospect, now I enjoy listening to them simply for the texture involved. So again, a primitive bit of looping on synthesizer and whatnot. It's a tune called Questions of Distance. Thank you. So that was questions of distance. And again, like I said, one of the things I really like about looping and the devices that we had at the time was that you could take sounds and take them down a couple octaves or speed them up so they were a higher pitch, slower, faster, backwards, all kinds of different manipulations. And a lot of it's fairly straightforward. Some of the things I do later on with the delay really involved manipulating the box quite a bit. But these are pretty straightforward loops, which is much like the next piece we're going to listen to, which is called A Good Deed Shines. Now, the fun part about this is the basic loop is the same, but I'm using a synthesizer with a sequencer to create a melody line that's probably faster than you can play in a manual fashion, so it has an immediate technological feel to it. But I really like the textures that are possible when you meld these things together. And like I said, the very simple nature of having a loop with some counterpoint against it. These are not complicated things, and a lot of times people find them relatively unsatisfying in a compositional style because they don't go anywhere in particular. They certainly don't change keys because you're dealing with a very short sample or loop length, a lot of times 8 seconds or less, in order to keep the fidelity at a level that you can actually hear some of the things you're jumping into the loop. But the nature of the experience, looping is by far and away one of the most revealing things I've ever participated in as far as a musical technique, because it's an immediate feedback. You hear note for note just how poorly or how well you're doing in the situation. And as opposed to recording, which always had a lot of stigma involved with either wasting tape in the old days or just the time involved to go into it, you can spend some time with a looping device and build things up on your own and have a fairly simple time without a lot of other people's involvement, and yet create something that can be complicated beyond just one player's ability. So I enjoy it, and you'll hear a lot of looping over the next episodes to come. In particular, when Dave and I start doing some more Bindlestiff stuff, it's pretty much a loop band. We're both looping at the same time, and we are not synchronized in the technical sense, so a lot of what happens is a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants kind of deal. Well, in the meantime, we're going to look at the last track in this episode, which is called A Good Deed Shines. Again, that was the last tune for this episode, a little number called A Good Deed Shines. And I hope you've enjoyed the selections in this episode. They represent an interesting collection of sketches and stuff, probably or perhaps not as involved as some other work you'll hear in the series. But in the meantime, things are moving right along, and we're almost to the halfway point, I think, in another couple episodes here. And I've really enjoyed sharing some of these things with you. Hope you've enjoyed listening to them as much as I have finding them in the archives that I have. In the meantime, if you want more information about this series or any related issues, you can go to my blog at brianhelm.wordpress.com, or you can go to @the-helm.us, which is a site which will link you to a number of different things to do with my work and other people's work. And again, I thank you for joining us, and I hope that you'll come back next time where we'll have some more interesting things to play for you. In the meantime, thanks very much. See you soon.